So, today, we're thrilled to introduce Isabel, a multifaceted talent currently making waves as a freelance second AC, or assistant cameraman, and commercial director based in Salt Lake City, Utah. With a keen eye for detail and a passion for storytelling, Isabel seamlessly transitions between roles on set, ensuring everyone is captured flawlessly and every story is brought to life with precision. Currently, Isabel is immersed in preparation for her upcoming short film, Potential Scam, set to shoot this March. In addition to her directorial pursuits, she recently directed her first client-funded commercial with Creatably, a leading advertising agency in Utah. But Isabel's journey to directorial success is as dynamic as her skill set. From her beginnings as an office manager at a commercial production company in LA to freelancing as a production assistant, she's navigating the industry with determination and grit. Along the way, she's honed her craft as a second AC, mastering the technical aspects of filmmaking while infusing her projects with creativity and vision. Join us as we explore Isabel's inspiring journey and uncover the secrets behind her versatility and success, both in the commercial and film worlds, here on the Hollywood Lot Live. Welcome to another episode of the Hollywood Lot Life podcast. If you're new here, please like the video and subscribe to the channel. It's the best way to help us grow here at the Hollywood Lot Life, and we would love your support. So whether you're about to buy tickets for Dune Part 2 or listening while you cook your morning breakfast, huge shout out to you for joining us today. Like I said in the intro, Isabel is a freelance commercial and film director currently based in Salt Lake. Isabel, welcome on the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
What is like an AC assistant camera? What does that even entail? Because director I've heard of, but assistant camera I haven't.
So the AC or assistant camera is part of the camera department. They work with the first AC or first assistant camera and the director of photography or cinematographer. Their primary roles are to help with swapping lenses, keeping the lenses clean, making sure all the batteries are getting charged, keeping things organized on set, at least the camera equipment, and then also updating the slate and working with the audio person to make sure that they're aligned with what scene is getting shot. And the slate, aka clapperboard, is like the little So it's a step up from being a production assistant, which is nice because that's kind of like the bread and butter right now, but the hope is that I start getting more directing jobs and then I can just be doing that full time.
And that would be incredible. And that would be in the commercial space, or where are you hoping to be a director in?
Yeah, I think the commercial space is where a lot of the money is, as far as directing, especially starting out. But I would like to also simultaneously be making my own short films and over like the next 3 years, and then hopefully in 3 years, be directing my first feature film.
Well, we're going to jump into all this. Let's get to know you a little bit more, your past and how you got to where you are today. Are you originally from Salt Lake, or kind of let's walk through your path on how you ended up where you are?
So I grew up in San Diego. And then when I was 13, I moved to Utah with my mom, stepdad, and my twin sister. And then after college, I went to LA because I always wanted to live in LA. And then after a couple of years in LA, I moved back. But this time I'm in Salt Lake City as opposed to Utah Valley.
So you graduate from college and move to LA. What was like your first gig moving out there? Did you have a hard time finding work, or what was your process?
So I graduated in the spring of 2021, which COVID was still pretty prevalent. Not a lot of people were hiring. So I just moved to LA without a job. And was like, I hope for the best. I look back and I'm like, how did I do that? It's like, I think I was naive enough that but I was also very lucky because I got there. And for the first, I think, month and a half, I wasn't finding anything. I was applying to a ton of jobs, but I didn't really know anyone out there. So I didn't have any connections. And so that was tough. And I'll be a production assistant. Easy. Nobody wants to be a production assistant. It's the lowest like totem pole or like level on the totem pole. And so when I got there and I tried to be a production assistant, I was like, oh my gosh, you literally have to know someone even to be a production assistant. Like, this is crazy. And so that was a shocker for me. And I kind of panicked a little. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? And so, but I got really, really lucky. I had a friend who was looking for producing jobs within agencies, and she had reached out to a production company in Los Angeles, and I think they like wanted to interview her, but she wanted to move to New York and not LA. So she was like, hey, can I connect you with this commercial production company? They're looking for an office manager. And I was like, absolutely. And so she connected me with them. I had an interview like the next day, started that following Monday as their office manager.
Okay. So like, what were some of those responsibilities in your job as an office manager?
It's nothing glamorous. It was restocking the fridge. It was managing the schedule for everyone, making sure they knew when their meetings were, reminding them 10 minutes before. It was acting as a liaison to the clients and the executive producers. I also kind of acted like a creative assistant. So anytime they needed additional help with pitch decks, or if the directors needed additional help with their treatments, I would help source images. I'd help design sometimes. I'd help update the website. Kind of just whatever they needed is what I'd be there for.
So when you're on set, what does your day look like from the very beginning to the end of like filming a commercial?
As a production assistant, you show up, you always show up. Like, I would show up 10 minutes before your call time, because also usually breakfast is ready to serve before your call time, and you want to get breakfast before then because you're going to be running around. But yeah, so you get there before your call time, enjoy some breakfast, talk to some people. And then your kind of boss on set is the assistant director or the AD. So he will be kind of telling you where to go and things like that. You also get a walkie and a headpiece if you don't already have your own headpiece. And that's how you communicate to other production assistants on set, and then the assistant director and whoever else. So you got to kind of learn the walkie lingo and what everything means, like 10-1, which means I'm going to the bathroom.
So you're living your best life in LA. You're a production assistant. Why move to Salt Lake City of all places?
Well, it was really tough. I also probably quit my job at like the worst time possible, because like a month after that, all the strikes happened. So it was really hard to like keep the production assistant job steady. It picked up towards the end, especially because the commercials didn't get as affected as much as TV and film did. But it was like almost a year of me being, I think I had been working as a freelance production assistant for 9 months, which is like not that much time at all. But I'm very impatient, and I want to be working towards something. And I felt like I had learned a lot as a production assistant. I'd met like some really cool people, and I was getting really good experiences, and I probably could have kept getting good experiences and meeting people, but I was so eager to be making my own stuff and building my own portfolio, because I wanted to be directing. And I had, I know people that are my age that are already directing and getting paid to do that. So I was like, okay, well, if they can do it, then I can do it. And like, I need to change something here. And so I was kind of feeling that way. And then my friend sent me an Instagram post from a director based in Salt Lake who was looking for a personal assistant for his upcoming feature film. And I was like, wait, I feel like I would be like great for this. Like, I have both like office manager experience and like production assistant experience, so I can help him with like tons of stuff. And so I reached out to him, and he was talking to a bunch of different people, and then gave me the job. So I moved to Salt Lake for a couple months to work on the feature film with him, and he pretty much became my mentor and recommended that I move back to Salt Lake so that I could save money and put that towards my own projects, and then eventually move back to Los Angeles with a stronger portfolio and with a title as director, not like a production assistant or, you know, things like that. So that's what I'm doing.
I think that makes total sense. Any way to bolster your resume? Because like you said, when you're getting there, you're like, I want to be a PA and I'll do anything. And you're showing up and everybody else wants to be a PA. And now you're, you step back from the game and you're doing your own thing and you're working on your own brand per se. And so when you go back again, then you're showing up saying, I directed this feature film, I did this commercial, I did this and this. It's harder to say no that way versus when you're just showing up like, hi, I'm here, hire me, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think like they're only going to see you as a production assistant. If you're working as a production assistant, they're not going to see you as a director or a cinematographer or whatever it is that you want to be doing, unless you have something to show for yourself.
So in the beginning of the episode, I talked about how you're actually starting directing your own stuff. Can you talk about what you're doing or, where you see yourself as a director?
As a director, I want to be making comedies, dramedies, I guess, in the film world and then commercial world. I'd also love to like continue to do comedy and things like that. I'm in pre-production right now for my first short film called Potential Scam. It's a comedy about a young girl, super impulsive, who gets a new phone number, and the phone number is associated with lots of fraudulent websites. So she spends the day trying to get rid of the scam callers that keep coming in until eventually she gets a call from a scam caller that she can't ignore. And I'm not going to tell you what happens because you
Ooh.
got to watch it.
This does not sound like a comedy at all.
It sounds ominous, but it's really like really goofy, just fun, and like, but it is a matter of life or death at the end in a funny
Okay.
way.
You sold it very well. That's super exciting. This is like all this talk on, being on set and doing all this stuff makes me want to, pack my bags and move back to LA, but every high comes with its lows. What are some of the biggest struggles you've found, getting involved in the industry and, what you're doing?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing that I personally struggle with is patience. As I kind of mentioned before, because I really want to see results right away. I want to be like improving right away, like climbing the ladder faster. So it's hard not to get down on myself and not compare myself to other people who want the same things that I do, who are a step ahead of me and things like that. So it takes a lot of conscious effort to, pat myself on the back and be proud of where I'm at and where I've come and the amount of time, and things like that. I think that would be my biggest struggle for sure in the industry, just kind of like, I guess, like a mental, more of like a mental thing than something like you'd have to get over. But I think the other hard thing that I struggle with, especially in LA, is ageism. I felt like because I'm like this young girl, it was really hard for people to take me seriously. So it's important to find those people who can look past that and not judge you based on your age, but on what you can offer and, the work that you can show for yourself. And also not get jealous, because if they're older than you, maybe 20 years your senior, like they might be like, what the heck, when I was your age, like I was not doing these things, and like they might feel like it's not fair and they don't want to give you those opportunities because they didn't get those opportunities. So I think it's important to find those people who don't care about that and who want to help you get ahead because they believe in you.
Do you have any advice for those who are just starting out their career or they're, in that PA, whatever standpoint, what advice do you have for them in the industry?
Well, I think that it really depends on what you want to do, whether that's work in the camera department, be a director, a writer, an editor, things like that. But I do think working for a PA or working as a PA for a year or two is important. I wouldn't recommend more than 2 years. I think that it's important that as you're working as a PA, you're networking, you're meeting creatives your age that you can work with and learn from. That's the point of PAing. It's not the money. You're not going to be making a lot of money as a PA. So don't get comfortable and really push yourself to be making as much work as possible and looking for new opportunities. I think a lot of people get discouraged if they don't make it in LA, like right away, especially in the position that they want to be in. But I think that if you really love movies and, you know, the entertainment industry making things, that you'll find your space in the industry. Like, let's say you move to Hollywood to be an actor or actress, and 6 years down the road, you still haven't like gotten your big break, but you're working as like a production manager, or you're working as an assistant editor. Like, there's other things that you can be doing that you still have a foot in the industry that you can still enjoy, even if it's not like the thing that you want to be doing. So it's still possible to, I think, you know, find joy in the industry, even if it's not the exact position you want to be in.
Yeah, I think you hit on it perfectly where you said the patience and the passion. I feel like those two intertwining where, you know, if you keep that passion, whatever drove you to move to LA, move to Hollywood, you keep that passion with the patience knowing, yeah, today I'm not what I want to be. I'm not winning an Academy Award or whatever, but I know that in the future, if I keep at this and stay consistent, I could one day win an Academy Award.
Yeah. And again, it's not about the Academy Award, it's about everything that you do leading up to it. It's the people you meet, the stories you experience, and the fun that you have, you know, reaching for that goal. Because a lot of people, you know, they reach their goals and then afterwards they're all sad and depressed because now they're not working towards that goal anymore. And it's that working towards it that is the part that gives you that gratification.
So, do you have any other advice that you can think of?
Yes, actually, I started making these little TikToks while I was in Los Angeles about life in LA, and
Yes, I remember those.
yeah, and life on set. I kind of slowed down because I was just focused on other things, but I got a lot of people reaching out to me, especially young women who wanted to be in film, but didn't have the means to move to LA and things like that, and they were asking me for advice. And one girl in particular, I recommended that she go onto Facebook groups for her area, search up like filmmakers of Pennsylvania or, you know, whatever state or city that she was in, and to reach out to, you know, post that she was looking to get on set with whatever department that she wanted to be working in, or if she just wanted to help out as a production assistant. And I even like looked into the specific state that she was in on Facebook and found some groups that I sent to her. And then a month later, she messaged me and was like, "Hey, I just want to thank you so much. Like, I just finished my first day on set ever." And I was just
That's so
like,
cool.
"Oh my gosh!" Like, I was so excited that she was able to get involved in the industry, and she was on the other side of the country, and she didn't have to be in LA to do that. And I was so happy for her. So I just want to encourage everyone out there that can't get to LA or, you know, don't have the means quite yet, that they can still get involved and be making stuff in their own cities.
Well, and it shows that you don't have to be on a set to do content creation, right? Like you created content and people from all across the state saw it. It wasn't just, you know, people in your network.
Yeah, you definitely have a much broader audience with social media these days.
And getting your name out there and showing your creativity and your work and all that stuff. So the last question I have is, have you worked on anything recently that you'd like to highlight or bring any cool projects that you want to talk about on the show?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I worked as an assistant to a feature film director. Actually, he's a commercial director, but this was his first feature film. And that experience was really cool. That was here in Utah. We filmed for about 5 weeks here in Utah, and then a week traveling. We shot a little bit in Wyoming, and then our last little bit in Omaha, Nebraska. Had to, you know, film there since the movie is literally called Omaha. Yeah, but that experience was definitely an experience of a lifetime. I really enjoyed seeing the process on a feature film from the perspective of a director, what goes into it. I think that also helps with it also helped me figure out like, is this something I actually want to do? And definitely is. But yeah, it was really fun to just see the actors and how the director worked with them. His name's Cole Webley. He is really awesome, really great guy, and very talented, very good with working with actors and things like that. And it was a really great experience learning from him, asking him questions. He was a really great mentor throughout it all too. I feel very lucky because, a lot of people who get hired to be an assistant to a director are running around doing their laundry and picking up their groceries, picking up their kids, things like that. Whereas he didn't just want to have an assistant. He wanted to have a younger creative that he could help. And so he had me be on set all the time and help him prepare his script and do anything to help with the characters and things like that. So that experience was really cool, and I feel like really also prepared me for this commercial that I just directed because I used a lot of things that I learned from that and from other sets that I had been on in LA and things like that.
So, do you have any like experiences or stories you'd like to tell from like being on set?
I can't think of like a specific story, but Omaha was like really interesting because it was like literally all the hardest things you could think of to combine in one story. We had the whole story follows two little kids and their dad on a road trip and a dog. So it was like, how many difficult things can we throw into this set? Kids, a dog, moving vehicle. At one point there was a baby. Like it was really crazy and required a lot of patience from the director and the crew, and especially because working with kids, you only get, I think it's like 4 to 6 hours or something with them, and so your days are literally cut in half. And so you're,
Trying to work as fast as possible.
yeah, and you want to keep them happy. And you're really just shooting a movie, and technically you have 6 weeks, but with the hours, it's more like 3 weeks. So it's intense. But yeah, it was definitely was entertaining.
Did you have any moments where, like, the kids are being well, but then the dog's all of a sudden barking, but then the dog's well behaving, now the kids are crying? Like, did you have any fiascos like
Yes, daily.
that? Oh, man. Well, thank you so much, Isabel, for coming on the show and talking about your experiences and all the fun stories you have of being on set.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And, everybody listening at home, thank you for making it to the end of the video. I really appreciate it. If you could like the video, if you have any questions for Isabel, please comment them in the section below. And if you really enjoyed this episode, please let your friends know. Please tell those who are aspiring to be in production or have any questions, definitely reach out to Isabel. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.